listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 124, The Angry Birds Movie, Genitor.
Hello, and welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast. This is... Yeah, you can tell I haven't been on the podcast for a while because I don't really know how to start it off. Welcome to the Animation...
Morgan, it's live. It's live.
Can't edit this.
Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast. Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and wow, everything in between. It's been too long, guys. I'm off once and look what happens to me. I don't even know our catchphrase. I am one of your hosts, Morgan Stradling. I'm here with my lovely co-hosts, Mason Smith and Chelsea Robson.
Hello, my friends.
Hello, animation fans.
Even then, I mix up your names. Normally, I say Chelsea Robson and Mason Smith, but anyways, yes. So, for those of you who are new to our show and are like, what the heck is happening? We are three friends who are obsessed with animation, all things animated, and we get together every 2 weeks and we talk about an animated movie, past or present. This time we are present. We are talking about a new release, The Angry Birds Movie, and we just give our thoughts on it. We have a good time. It's really fun, laid back. The unique thing about our show is that it's for fans by fans, so we definitely give a fan perspective. Some of us are involved in the animation industry. Mason, who is pursuing to be in that field, and then others of us probably will never be in that industry, but we still appreciate it for everything that it produces.
Not with that attitude.
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm not just hoping to be. I am actually a professional animator now.
Well, whoa, big update. Mason is a professional animator. He is no longer aspiring. He's no longer, wow, all of those other, he's made it.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It's not like I'm working for like Pixar or anything, but I...
But you're working.
For about a month now, yeah.
He's working.
As of a month ago, I've been working as a consultant for rigging and animation at a game company in town that makes educational computer games, and I am in charge of all the animation for the characters, and so it's not a huge deal, but yeah, I guess technically I am a professional animator now, and it just sort of happened, so I am proud of my metamorphosis, and I hope
you have become a beautiful butterfly.
A beautiful butterfly.
Oh, Mason,
from
butterfly.
Up here, you all look like tiny ants.
Oh, on the next Rotocast, Mason, you need to draw yourself turning into a Heimlich.
A beautiful butterfly.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, I'm sure it'll lead to big, to even cooler things. But yeah, it is a really cool job, and I'm glad to have it. But yeah, I do a little animating.
Well, cool news on my side is. For all of the patrons know that I've been, for the last couple of weeks, I've been doing this thing called making dreams come true. And if you follow me on any social media network or anything, then that is like, I've been doing that type of thing and Mason thinks that I'm like taking over.
when they realize whose dreams you're making come true. It's
like, I make other people's dreams come true too.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, no, you make our dreams come true by being on the podcast with us every week, so. Go ahead. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
Okay. I have to explain now. So basically, for a long time, I didn't feel like a lot was going on in my life, or at least I just wanted more to be going on. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to make my dreams come true, which I made a whole list of things, of even small things like hiking the Superstition Mountains, which are really close to where I live. And I had never done it and I just wanted to do it. So that was one of my make my dreams come true. And it has progressively increased. Until last week, I did something kind of crazy, and I bought tickets to go to the Olympics in Rio.
Dun dun dun
no,
dun!
Don't get the Zika virus.
Dun 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 dun. Yeah, well, that's what I heard a lot
too. Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to visit me after the fact because
probably not. So I'll be going down to Brazil, and I'll be spending 6 weeks there, and so I'll be traveling from multiple cities and. Stay tuned to my website to be able to see and also join my email list, and you'll be able to be updated on all of those areas that I'm going to go to, because I am going to be doing several shows along my trip as well. Ooh. So if you happen to be in Brazil, and you want to see me, this is a good chance that you have. So I'm probably going to do
that. For one time only, Chelsea is coming back to her mother country of Brazil.
Well, 10 cities, so it'll be pretty amazing.
10 city tour.
10
wow.
City tour.
10 city tour, people.
Yeah. So that is like super exciting in my life. So I've been really planning and really putting that together, and a lot of puzzle pieces have been going together to be able to put that in action. So that's what I've been going on.
In the chat, they're already asking us to do Rio instead of Angry Birds. Too late. We're already starting the podcast, y'all. Well, that's great news, Chelsea. Morgan, do you have any exciting news that you want to announce to top all that?
Oh man, I can't top Chelsea's news, but I'm pregnant, so I guess that's...
We've known for a while, but...
Yeah, for a really long time. I've been very, 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 very sick, going on 13 weeks being sick. 13? Yeah. I'm 17 weeks, and I've been nonstop sick, throwing up 5 to 10 times a day for 13 of those weeks. It's awesome, and that's why I wasn't here last time for the episode, and yeah, so life is great, but I'm hoping it goes away. They're like, oh, after 12 weeks, it'll go away, and I'm like, no, okay, maybe? So I'm on medicine now, and it does help, but I didn't take my medicine last night because I have been feeling a little bit better, and I've progressively gotten worse throughout the day. So yeah, sorry about the bummer news. I guess I need to be more positive, but yeah, so that's my exciting news. I will find out whether it's a boy or a girl in like a few weeks, so I'll keep you guys updated, and that's all I have. So
yay!
I'm sorry. Yay! I couldn't be here last time. I was really bummed because it was Titan AE, but like, I've just really, really been out of it. It's not even like I'm my normal self. It's very strange for me because I'm always like on the ball. But anyways, let's move on. We have a really fun episode. So this was an episode that was picked by the patrons, because the patrons, one of our perks when we reached a certain level is that we would review new films. And so we are going to be reviewing the Angry Birds movie, which came out a few weeks ago. Just the way that our recording cycle went, we, you know, it's probably been about 2 weeks since it's come out, 2 weekends since it's come out. So we definitely have some box office that we can talk about. It's been out a while, critical reception, our own thoughts, as well as we're going to start this off with a nerdy couch discussion. And this is per the request of one of our writers, Brandon. It was his birthday this past week, and he really wanted us to do a nerdy couch discussion talking about video game adaptations. So we're going to make this really long and talk about all different outlets, you know, current video game adaptations. You know, Ratchet and Clank recently was one that was done in animation, which we did not review because the Roto Council did decide not to do that one.
Denied.
And we're also talking about
why it was,
you know,
such a successful film.
We'll also talk about ideas of possible animated video game adaptations and whatnot. So let's get into it. Adaptations.
Okay, so one of the first video game animated adaptations, like shows or films, that I ever watched was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Mm.
He actually had a cartoon.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself. So.
I did watch that cartoon growing
he
up.
He had like a cool one and like a lame one, and I can't remember which was which. I think Sonic is lame regardless, but worst fandom ever. But I did remember watching that, and my dad used to call me May Sonic the Hedge Boy, so that was one of my kooky nicknames.
I did watch that show. I specifically remember about Sonic the Hedgehog was the end credits. I don't know why those stood out to me so much, but I did watch that. It seems like 90s was a great time for animation in general and TV shows, because it seems like everything had an animated counterpart to it. You know, the Pokemon had the Pokemon anime.
That's right.
Sonic the Hedgehog had the Sonic the Hedgehog. There was a Super Mario Brothers.
the Super Mario
I
Super
did
Show.
Watch that
yes,
one.
The Super Mario
All
Super
toast
Show.
Toast does toast toast.
I just remember one quote from one episode one time when Peach is like running outside, and I think Luigi is running after Mario, and
classic.
She comes out and she's like, "Don't forget your frog suit."
Oh gosh.
What the most useless suit ever. Gotta have that Tanuki.
Oh
yeah. I wonder if any of our listeners remember doing the Mario swing your arms from side to side. Come on, let's go, let's
oh
go do the Mario.
Can I
it
just
was
say,
like he was like a professional wrestler that voiced Mario. Well, they had like live action stuff, and then they had cartoons. It was a huge mess. Huge
oh
mess.
Gosh. So there's a house that's like a couple miles away from my house that my friend showed me when we were younger, and just today, or not today, like last week, I was like, I need to drive by and see if this house still is there. I'm driving by, and this house, the whole front yard is lined with giant pots, but they're like straight up pots that look exactly like the pots that you would see in Super Mario
the
Brothers.
The tubes, the pipes.
The tubes, yeah, the pipes.
The pipes, cool.
With the long thing and then the opening.
Yeah, so it's like that's, and they're all like orange throughout the whole thing. So I'm just like, oh, where's the green one? I just want the green one.
They just need
yeah.
to paint it green, and it would be perfect.
It would be. So.
Oh, then you could like duck on it and be like, brow, brow, brow.
Yeah, some YouTuber would make a great parody video using those for sure.
Oh. Yeah.
I think Lindsay Sterling does a Legend of Zelda parody. Short film where she's like breaking all the pots mm-hmm. in that one room of mm-hmm. Ocarina of Time, and the car is just horrified. Then she goes outside, and then they all grow back, and she comes back inside and breaks them again. Fan favorite.
Speaking of Zelda, there was the Legend of Zelda cartoon. Short-lived.
Well, excuse me, princess.
There is a montage on YouTube that's just all the times that Link says that in the show. It's about 2 minutes worth of just, well, excuse me, princess. My husband has never even watched this cartoon, but because I quote that all the time, he quotes that to me all the time whenever
oh, I
I'm
bet he does all
out
the time.
Of line or whatnot. And he's, oh, so I get the excuse me princess line a lot. Probably the best thing to come out of that series was that line, so thank you.
That's pretty great.
That's a pretty, then, you know, again, another 80s adaptation.
So specifically Zelda, do you think they're, I mean, there were talks that Netflix was going to start doing a Zelda show. Is that going to be live action, or is
that
it going to be CG?
That was a false rumor.
Oh, okay. Good.
Here's the thing. I
made a video about it, and so did a whole bunch of other people, and it was like, nope, fake out. This is just fake.
Oh, wow.
Mason's actually a fan of that not happening.
Has anyone ever, y'all have heard this a million times, but there can never be a Zelda cartoon. Never.
Cartoon?
Link doesn't talk. End. Anyway.
I am in the camp of more Zelda is great. So
Morgan wants it to happen.
Yes, I'm on the opposite side. I don't care if he talks. I take your own spin on it. Great, sure, fine. For the games, he can't talk, right? Because that's the shtick, is that he doesn't talk in the games. But hey, excuse me, princess, that's a great line. I'd love to hear more of that from Link, okay? So, I personally think Legend of Zelda, while, like, an animated movie, I just think there's too much to pack in there to really make a, I mean, of course you can make it work, but I feel like it's better as more of an ongoing series, whether it's live action or animated, I think would be great. I personally am a fan of, yes, bring it on. I would like to see this. Please do it. But Mason, not so much.
All right. So speaking of Pokemon, I hardly ever watched the original show, but I ate up Pokemon Origins, like, that was freaking dope. Like,
I
it was
only
an anime,
the original show.
Anime based on the show, based on the game, and it was very, like, game-centric, and I really liked it for that. I think if they, you know, apparently they're making a Pokemon live-action movie come out. I hope they make it more like the games instead of the anime with Ash and Brock and all that nonsense.
I did not see Pokemon Origins, but I was a huge fan of the original anime. I watched all of the episodes. I got very frustrated because of WB. They would cut certain episodes because they wouldn't pass the American censors. And it was very frustrating because there were certain episodes that were cut out, which were key plot points. For example, Ash goes into...
Oh, the Porygon one?
Well, yeah, Ash goes into the Safari Zone for one of the episodes. I think it's the Dratini episode, you know, because that's where you find Dratini, and catches a herd of Tauros. And this whole episode was completely caught or cut, and no one ever saw it. And then next thing you know, he has this herd of Tauros in all future episodes. Like, of course, if you were a fan, you knew that, okay, that comes from the cut episode, blah, blah, blah. But it also very frustrated me because I think through the first, you know, first couple series, he was able to see every single Pokemon. However, if those episodes were cut, then there were certain Pokemon that he was never able to see, like Dratini and whatnot. And it frustrated me very much. I care about this a lot. So
okay, so if you inserted all the deleted episodes, Ash would have seen all the Pokemon in the Kanto Pokédex.
Yes.
And, so, you know, even though he sucked at battling and lost, like, his first round against the Elite Four, he still got to set out and fill up the Pokédex.
Oh, yeah. So he achieved his goal.
Well, that makes me think of him as a little less of a loser, but I'm more of a red guy, if you know what I mean.
You know, so the thing that bothered me about this versus the games is that the whole point of the games, we all know, is catch as many
dominate.
Pokemon
right.
as you can. Like, you gotta catch them all.
It's dominate.
Although Ash does not have that mentality, he just doesn't catch them all. He picks and chooses, he lets them go. It very much has a more of a moral message than the video games, which was like, just dominate every creature and go.
You have to win at any cost.
It's like, yeah, so...
It's Spore, lock on, guillotine, recover, repeat, Spore, lock on, guillotine, recover.
Yeah, so that was a great one. I watched that up until... I went through the Orange Islands. I watched a few of the seasons and then kind of fell out of it and didn't watch them, but it's still going to this day. Pokemon is very popular.
It's still chugging.
You know, new movies are coming out all the time. It seems probably every year there's a new Pokemon movie. There's about 16 or so.
Oh, brother. And Sun and Moon came out. It's like, I could never catch up. This is why I'm a Gen 1-er. I only have time and focus for the first two games. I'm actually a Gen 2-er, but that doesn't roll off the tongue.
Gen 2-er, kind of like Saboteur.
I'm a Gen 2-er. that sounds a little weird. Anyway, speaking of animes, while I was doing my research, according to my research, if you look on like Wikipedia and look for like a list of like animation that's based on video games, I'd say about 75% of them are animes, like deep Japanese animes from Japan. Hopefully y'all can't hear that weed whacker that's going on outside my house. It's like 8 o'clock and they're doing yard work.
Can't hear a thing.
Shut up out there. But anyway, I vaguely remember Kirby. Kirby had an anime, and they had like 100 episodes. Do you remember that?
I do not.
No.
It was called Kirby Right Back At You. Animes, you know it's a real Japanese anime when it's got this like snappy title that doesn't really make
sense. Nice.
But yeah, it was pretty dope. Also known as Hoshino Kabi. It was pretty great. King DDD was always trying to get Kirby, and Kirby never said anything. So there's a cartoon where the main character, the hero, never says any words. So that I don't know. Maybe Link could work. You would have to have a lot of heat, heat, heat. You know, but would he be adult Link or child Link?
Don't know.
I do not know. I'm out of most of these conversations is a sad thing. See, the video games that I grew up with were like James Bond.
That's not a video game.
Well,
just kidding. GoldenEye is, but that
GoldenEye. Yeah, I had GoldenEye, and that was like the only game that we ever played. And that, and then later on, we finally got Mario Kart. And so, yeah, as far as like moving things over, I think they did have a Battletoads cartoon for a second.
Battletoads was a, I think Battletoads was a comic and then a show before it was a game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. But the game is notorious for being really difficult. But yeah, it's a NES favorite. Coming from my vast experience in retro games,
I was never able to get past the snake level.
You know, I'm sort of a Final Fantasy fan. Like, I don't keep up with the new Final Fantasy titles because I think they're just ridiculously convoluted. So no, I'm not much of a Final Fantasy fan. But I do like a couple of titles, mainly like 6, 4, and 7, I guess. And I loved Advent Children. That one was based off of the story, you know, picking up where Final Fantasy VII left off. And I think it's pretty well animated for back when it came out. I think it came out in like 2005 or something like that. And I even bought like the collector's edition version and I was real into it. And then one of the very first and most important CG films was in fact a Final Fantasy game. It was called Final Fantasy The Spirits Within. And it wasn't like a spinoff or based on any existing Final Fantasy game. I guess it was just based on that lore. But it was known for really striving for photorealistic motion capture animation and surfacing and stuff. And if you looked at it now, I think now it would hold up to like, like an in-engine cutscene for like a modern video game. Like the visuals have definitely aged. But if you're going to study animation, you got to know about The Spirits Within because it is a kind of a milestone in the history of animation. Mm-hmm. And then if you're hardcore like me, there were a couple of amazing Dead Space animated films that were really good. And then Overwatch. Have you and Chelsea heard about Overwatch?
I've never heard that.
Okay. Working in a video game company, of course I know about Overwatch. So it's the newest title from Blizzard of like World of Warcraft fame. And it's the most effectively marketed computer game I have ever seen. Like people who like Overwatch are way into Overwatch. Like they introduced this cast of characters by giving them their own like 5-minute short film each to explain their backstory and explain their powers, explain like if they're good or evil and all the cool things you could do. And then you play the game and they don't do anything that they show you in the short film, but you still have this mentality that's like, whoa, I'm not just playing a character. I'm playing a hero with like a backstory and all this stuff. And they come out with a new short film like every 2 weeks, and everyone at my work is obsessed with it. Like I don't like being married and having like a lot of other obligations. Like I haven't played Overwatch yet. Plus, I got to get through the new Doom before I play Overwatch. But it's really interesting because even in the game, characters follow the 12 principles of animation. Like there's all this anticipation and squash and stretch when a character jumps, and it's all very cartoony, but just really, really well made. And so like, if you don't play the game, you should probably like watch like the intro videos and like the short films and stuff. Cause it's really interesting. It's like they made short films specifically to tie into the game. It wasn't like they started the game and then some company was like, hey, what if we made an Overwatch movie? But, so it's definitely a marketing ploy, but it's an extremely effective one. So anyway,
ladies and gentlemen,
what are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Awesome.
That's my Overwatch plug.
Well, and then there's always this talk of my favorite video game. I would love for it to be a movie.
Well, they gotta make an Assassin's Creed movie. Oh, they already did. Oh, they gotta make a Minecraft movie. Yes, they did. It was called Pixels. I'm just kidding.
So there's not quite a few video game movies. I think video game movies in general, not necessarily animation, going more broad, have a very bad reputation of not going over well. that they're typically flops. And recently, you know, Ratchet and Clank, which we have not had the chance to review yet, did not get good ratings. It didn't do well in the box office.
And one of the guys involved with it was like, he was like, I don't want anything to do with that movie anymore.
One of the co-writers who left midway through the project, but ultimately a lot of his stuff was still used. I think it's kind of a bummer, especially for animation. I mean, the problem for me and Ratchet and Clank is, well, one, I was unable to go to the screening because I was sick. But then, you know, when I was thinking about, okay, do we want to do this episode or a review on it? I mean, it just didn't, as someone who hadn't played that particular series, there was no draw to me in the way that it was marketed that made me really want to go and go out of my way to see this movie. So I think that for me was a big negative about the way that film was promoted. It was just, I feel like it was trying to appeal to the audience that maybe already had seen the movie. And for those who hadn't seen it, it was like, well, what's in it for me? Why would I want to watch this?
Yeah. So you're not a Ratchet Clank fan, huh?
I am not. Nope. So,
oh, man. And I wouldn't know either. If you showed me a picture of Ratchet and Clank and Jack and Daxter, like, side by side, I'd be like, which one's Banjo-Kazooie, you know? I wouldn't even know what these franchises are.
I mean, that's unfortunate, I guess, animated films, video games turned animated films, right? Because this one didn't do well. It's going to set precedence for future ones. There's, you know, other ones that have been made, you know, Spirits Within, I think, is kind of a very prominent one. It was this big, high profile, and it was a flop. But do you think...
So, like, is this, like, is it, like, a for fans thing? Like, do you think they're just, like, cashing in on fan... like popularity with the fans, or do you think there's actually been attempts to make a universally beloved video game movie animated film?
I was definitely getting into the fans. I think I just don't feel like there has been
all the stuff that's animated. Like, we're not even talking about live action. We could open up a whole different can of worms with that. Worms Armageddon would be a great game to make into a movie, but anyway, I really think the animated ones, specifically the animated ones, they just, you know, there's still the stigma that they're like kids stuff, you know, animation. And I feel like that's more for the fans. Like, if you don't understand what happened in Final Fantasy VII, like, and you watch Advent Children, you'd be like, what? You know? And I think a lot of it relies on, like, the lore, you know? You have to know the lore, and you have to know what characters are doing which, because maybe they don't have time to explain the lore, or maybe the game didn't have a lore to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, kind of tying that into the Angry Birds movie, you know, this was a incredibly, incredibly popular video game. And it's just funny because we've mostly been talking about video games that are console games. And this is a video game that is a mobile game, and it took over the world probably about 4 years ago, reached its peak, right? Everyone had played it. It reached, you know, 3 stars on all their levels or whatnot. You know, someone said, hey, let's turn that into a movie, right? Let's expand this. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, was that made for the fans of the franchise, or was it just made to for more commercial appeal? I think at this point, everyone has heard of Angry Birds. Well, not everyone had heard about Ratchet and Clank. So it was able to appeal to a bigger audience that way. However... yeah, we'll talk about it as we get into our review. But it really just feels like attempting to cash in on the popularity and the craze that was Angry Birds. And the sad thing about Angry Birds is that it's not even popular anymore. I know there's some people who still play it, but most people had already played it, beat it, completed it, didn't continue to buy future iterations of the games. And, you know, you would go into different stores and you'd see Angry Birds pillows and you'd see Angry Birds shirts, and Angry Birds was everywhere. And I feel that significantly has died down over the past few years. You still see it, definitely, but not to the extent that it was just like everything between, 2010 to 2012, 2009
is when this whole thing started, this whole Angry Birds phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Forget the Angry Birds movie. They need to make a Flappy Bird movie. All he's trying to do is get through the pipes, and it's really hard. Anyway, okay, so... Oh, there is one animated film about... based on video games.
Ooh, I know
that we
this.
Haven't talked about, and that's... I'm gonna wreck it! Wreck-It Ralph.
But is it
a game based on a video... Is it a movie based on a video game? Like, it's so much different.
It's based on video game concepts. Like, obviously, it's more or less a Donkey Kong type. But they couldn't get the rights, or they didn't want to get the rights, and they wanted to create their own characters, which you could market and sell and, you know, market.
Make more money!
Yes, lots and lots of money without having to pay those filthy rights. that is a successful video game movie to me, because...
It wasn't about any particular video game. It was about a world of video games, and they made their own conflict, made their own characters, and everyone else was kind of like a cameo or a supporting character. And I think there's gold in that. Like, I think it was yourmoviesucks.org, which is one of my favorite YouTube channels. Awesome. He explains that, like, there will never be a good video game live action adaptation because, like, no studio believes that a filmmaker can stay true to the game, like 100% true to the game and the lore and the characters without changing anything and still make a good movie. So there's, or they don't care and they're like, yeah, we'll sign away the rights to this game. Who cares? And some dumb director makes something horrible. There has been but one exception in my mind for a truly faithful video game adaptation, live action film, but it was live action. So, We are yet to see.
You can't leave us hanging.
Yeah, what was it?
Silent Hill? Like, y'all don't want to see that. It's really spooky. But anyway, having played Silent Hill, I was like, that is exactly how the game is. But anyway, but we don't get lucky like that at all. Like, 90% of the time, we don't get lucky. They have to invent new things or make new arcs or change characters up. And it's just a mess. But Wreck-It Ralph, like, stands alone. A, because it's Disney, and it's got, like, that golden Disney touch, you know, to it. But, you know, that turns everything to clinkety-clink gold.
I think it was the Rich Moore aspect on that one, just me.
Oh, yeah? Well, I hope to see a Wreck-It Ralph sequel, and hope to see all kinds of cool cameos, but it's pretty interesting. And then there's Tron, which is, like, a semi-animated movie that's based on an imaginary video game, which is... getting kind of meta, I guess. But anyway, what about let's brainstorm. Say we're at the studio and we're having a brainstorm session. So, gang, what animated films or shows based on video games would we like to see if we could take an IP from video game world and turn it into a feature film animated or a series?
Well, I mentioned this in the comments, and I don't know if this is necessarily would be best for animation, but if they could get it right, like in this theoretical world where whatever movie we're going to adapt, let's say it's going to be a great, fantastic movie that's faithful, that's awesome, that people love, you don't have to be a fan of the original to get it. I think it would be cool if Nintendo did a Nintendo Cinematic Universe where there's all these standalone video games. So you have a Mario movie, you have a Zelda movie, you know, and they could have various sequels as needed. You have a, you know, a Donkey Kong movie, and then there's the ultimate culmination with a Super Smash Brothers movie, and all of your favorites get together and duke it out.
I would totally be okay with this.
Oh, a Super Smash Brothers movie.
Yeah. So, but animation, I don't know if animation necessarily is the best format. I mean, it'd be awesome. Actually, it'd be super awesome because we're already used to these characters in animated form, more or less. When we try to convert them to the real world, they kind of can get funky. So, yeah, why not animation? But, you know me, I'm all for Legend of Zelda. Give me more Zelda. Whether it's live action, animated, or it's a TV series in either of those mediums, just give it to me. I want it. I will watch it. I will pay you money all day long. So
I will pay you money. That'd be cool. So, I have an idea for a cartoon series. They should make not a Mario cartoon series, but a Wario cartoon series with him and Waluigi. Yeah, and it would be great because he's such a nasty character. It would be like Ed, Edd n Eddy, but with Nintendo, you know? And you know how a lot of like animation like on Cartoon Network, like I'm thinking like Adventure Time and like stuff like that. Like it's kind of that like rando like super like semi creepy and just like outrageous type of comedy where like all kinds of weird random things happen. Like I really think that Wario would fit in a universe like that, and so that would be my pitch. I think he'd do pretty well. Plus he has speaking lines, you know, and then like Mario and Luigi could be like cameos, but they'd be like losers that he always like outwits or something like that. I'd like to see something like that. Rides around on his motorcycle, you know, eats a lot of fried food.
Esther in the chat says Kingdom Hearts movie.
Oh, that's too meta. Like, but it's like a movie based on a game that's based off of movies.
Disney characters.
Yeah.
That'd be really hard.
Stick to the games. There's just something about games that has like puts you in control of them. Plus their length is a lot longer than a movie, to where just some stuff you can appreciate more. Like I would never expect anyone to make a Metal Gear Solid movie animated film or anything like that, because those games last like 14 hours. Anyway.
Some other comments are Metroid movie hands down.
Okay. Metroid would be sweet. That'd be cool. Have you seen some of the fan movies of Metroid?
No.
They're really good. There's like one that came out like last year, I think. It was really, really good. Really well done.
So do you think
there should be a Mr. Game and Watch animated film?
Mr. Game and Watch. Talk about obscurity.
Oh, there should be an Earthbound show. Earthbound would be so trippy.
Earthworm Jim?
Oh, Earthworm Jim would be cool.
Well, Earthworm Jim was a TV show first.
I know, I'm joking. Yeah. Earth made me remember that.
I should make a movie out of 1080 snowboarding. Yeah. 360 melon. They're just doing sweet Tony tricks Hawk.
Yeah,
the whole
exactly.
time.
Madden.
Oh, there should be a Madden TV series.
I always played King Griffey Jr. And there was that one part where it's like you would hit the ball and then the ref would like say, he's out of here. And then the guy would like break his, he would do one or two things. He would break the bat on his knee, which, ow. And then second one, he would be there, always like, oh, come on. So.
NBA Jam.
Like, yes.
He's out of here.
NBA Jam.
Monster
That'd
Jam.
Be sweet.
Now we're really going down the rabbit hole. See, with these movies, these are kind of like actually the movies they are making nowadays, you know, where it's like a very, very obscure premise. Trying to think of one recently that it falls into this category, but it's like, okay, Madden, it's a video game everyone loves. We're going to make a Madden movie, and it's not really going to be much about Madden. It's just going to, you know, we're going to take the name and then, you know, make a movie and hire some actors and make it work well. That's not very articulate. No.
Some people are saying a Minecraft movie would be sick. It would make me sick. That's it.
Warcraft is coming out.
It's safe to say that is pretty much an animated movie. There's a couple of humans rolling around and one chick with heavy makeup and I'm looking forward to that.
Cut the rope.
I personally I played a lot of Warcraft 2, so I know a little bit about like the actual lore of Warcraft, and it's interesting, you know. But I think a lot of fans are going to be disappointed because the movie will have next to nothing to do with World of Warcraft, correct?
I do not know. I have steered clear of all things Warcraft because
A StarCraft movie would
college,
be awesome.
A lot of the guys would just waste their lives away playing Warcraft, Dota, all these sorts of games. They're just losers, and they just miss their classes, and they'd play these games all the time, and it fed me up, and so I said, yeah, I'm never getting involved with that, because everyone I know who played that, it was just like such a suck. They just spent their whole life playing that game. So
such a suck.
I have a very negative perception of that, so as a result, I did not get involved or understand the lore of Warcraft.
There was only one game that I've ever legitimately been addicted to, and it probably will surprise
Snake?
Most everybody. No.
Snake? That'd be awesome.
No.
It just keeps getting bigger every time it hits food. What do? We make it eat
Frogger.
Itself.
No. It was... Dang it, I forgot the name of it now. Oh,
it was Oregon Trail. I could totally see them making an Oregon Trail game. See, that's no baby.
That'd be great. Like based someone on must die of dysentery in that movie. Sure, we'll cock the wagon and float it. Ain't not afford that river jet. It's only 2 feet. No, it says 2 meters. Oh no! Anyway,
amazing.
I volunteer as an extra in that movie.
I would like to see that movie. Yes. So
Plants versus Zombies might work.
I'm thinking Oregon Trail is our best bet at this point in time.
Oregon Trail, all right. I could do an Oregon Trail movie.
Because it's so diverse, where it's like anything could happen. So,
and nobody really
just throw some plot point on there about wanting to go to Oregon and get some characters and cast some Hollywood good lookers, and you're good. So, anyways, yes. So we could go on and on and on. Any last thoughts about this topic of video games? I mean, it's turned into just a more broad discussion, not necessarily tied to animation, but
yeah,
you know, video games are pretty much scripted animation, so yeah, definitely. I think Oregon Trail would probably be our best bet. Amazon Trail is pretty cool, but I like Oregon Trail a little better. They don't make you feel guilty for killing animals in that one.
It's true.
And
I totally played both of those.
Well, you know, Minesweeper the movie. Okay, this number says that there are 3 mines around us. It could be in any of these 8 cardinal directions. This one.
That reminds me of...
You should have looked at the adjacent tile. It said there was one next to it.
Scorched Earth, the movie.
Scorched Earth.
That basically is all the big, you know, shoot 'em up movie. Not shoot 'em up movies,
Blitzkrieg the movie.
Yeah.
Well, they tried making a Doom movie and it was terrible. I think if they made a Quake movie, that would be amazing.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
But yeah, we'll see. We'll
good
see.
Times.
Good times indeed.
Thanks for this great discussion, guys. This was
That was a great nerdy couch discussion. And what do you know? That leaves us with very little time to actually talk about the Angry Birds.
Oh, come on. What a shame.
What a shame. I mean, look, I guess we gotta wrap it up in like 10 minutes, y'all. I mean, let me premise our discussion on the Angry Birds movie by saying that I went and saw it with Shanna last night. Shanna gets bored with a lot of things, but I when I'm watching animation, like I never get bored watching an animated film. But with this movie, I was bored out of my mind.
No.
How can a movie with so much action and dialogue and nonstop like attempts at laughs be so freaking dull? There were times when it was in the middle of the climax of the film and I was just like, I really want to go home right now. I'm not hungry. I don't have to use the restroom or anything. I just want to go home. Anyway, I think at one point a family actually got up and left and I was like, can we go? Can we go too? No, I'm just kidding. I wanted to see it out, but it just didn't do it for me. But anyway, this was Rovio and Sony Pictures Imageworks out of Vancouver. They helped out with
that.
That
was
a
new logo I'd never seen before. It was the Rovio studio logo, right?
There it is.
So
I see it all the time because we have Angry Birds on our Roku. And so I I turn it on every once in a while. So Clay Cadis, a longtime animator for Disney, and Fergal Riley, who I actually met when I was at BYU. He was giving a talk on story in the context of like the Iron Giant and stuff like that. And so it's not like they're like brand new to animation. Like these are animation veterans.
Yeah, Clay Cadis, I think this was his first, one of his first directing roles. He's been at Disney forever, and he inspired me to do this podcast because he started the Animation Podcast. That's mm-hmm. straight up the name of it, the Animation Podcast. Probably, what, like 2005, 2008-ish?
Yeah.
And then he just got so busy because he was just doing a lot of other stuff. If I believe so, I haven't looked this up, but from what I remember about the podcast is he initially started on Pocahontas as kind of, you know, in-betweener and whatnot, and got into the industry that way. But the Animation Podcast, if you've not checked it out, the archives are still there. And he, since he did work at Disney, he has such great access to these legends. And so he interviews them.
Legends.
And you get to hear just really, really in-depth behind the scenes with some of these great animators. So I'm grateful for that podcast. And I loved listening to that. That was my favorite podcast of all time back in the day. And he just got so... got so busy that he was unable to continue with it. And obviously, you get very busy when you're directing a feature-length animated film for a big studio. And this was, they did kind of poach him for this from Disney, yeah. Which does happen with a lot of Disney guys recently and always. It's always been the case. But so
why do I get the feeling that when an animated film is directed by a long-time animator, not necessarily a long-time filmmaker, do they tend to do better or worse, or is there no correlation? I'm trying to think in my database.
I feel like it's hit or miss. Like sometimes you'll have people who've been animators who get promoted and it doesn't do too well, and other times same situation and it's a total success.
I mean, Glenn Keane, he was master animator and then he went
but
into Well, he was going
to
direct.
He was involved in Previs.
But,
then he ended up getting sick. But still, like, everybody there basically looks at him as, like, the man of that, of Tangled. So.
Well, that's one example.
Well, and then there's Genndy Tartakovsky, who is a longtime animator who was Hotel Transylvania 1 had, like, 9 directors, of which Tartakovsky was the last. So it's hard to say, like, just how influential he was in that film. But Hotel Transylvania 2, that was all him. And in other words, he was the director through Previs until production, the end of production. And so, and a lot of people don't like, some people don't like Hotel Transylvania 2 as much as Hotel Transylvania 1. I loved it for what it was, which was, like, an amazing showcase on Sony Animation's, like, you know, style and vision for an animated film. And specifically Tartakovsky, and the story definitely lacked. And so I wonder if it's just like if only we can get like a master filmmaker who was also a master animator, something like that. But and then Prince of Egypt was brilliant, and that's Steve Hickner, who was a story artist for a long time. But see, he was ingrained in story from day one, but he also did drawing. And
yeah, you can be a great, you know, previs, you can be a great animator, you can be a great, story development. You can be great at all of these, but ultimately I think it's having that vision of a filmmaker and, a director is hard to achieve. Just because you're great at one thing doesn't mean you'll necessarily be great at this other role. It's kind of even in management for businesses. It's like, okay, well, this typically happens. I'm the best top performer salesperson out of 2,000 people, so they promote me to supervisor or manager, but I'm actually not that great at that, at managing others to be good. The reason I was good is because it was just me. And and then when you put them in that management role, they fail. And it's just because that's not what their skills were. Some people are great at, actually doing and then managing below them, but not everybody. And that typically happens in all sorts of industries. So it's awesome when you do find those that can do both.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Not saying that either Clay or Fergal are unsuccessful.
Yeah.
That's not why we're... It was just this. I was just a tangent at what we were having.
Nothing personal, guys. We just don't like the movie. Anyway. Okay, so came out on May 20th, but it had early in the U.S. at least, but it had earlier like international releases, and I guess it was like a $73 million budget, somewhere around $80 million. And as of today, the box office earnings are $229 million. And so...
They spent a lot of money on...
Dude, the marketing campaign, man. I don't even have cable, and I know they were marketing this.
I mean, I went to just a random ice cream shop one time with some friends, and it was like... all done up in Angry Birds stuff. We had Angry Birds spoons, Angry Birds mat, Angry Birds whatever. And I was like, holy mackerel. If we're going to go all the way to this, like, just kind of a very small chain of ice cream shops, you know, it's like, wow. Pretty impressive. It wasn't like $500 million or something crazy like that. I don't know.
It was just this huge deal.
But it was a lot.
And when you're the most powerful, like, smartphone app of all time, basically, most powerful, like, smartphone game, like, of course you got money to throw around. But dig this. All was not well with Rovio during its production. Like, here's some production drama for you. So, there were about 150 layoffs, like, jobs, like, laid off even before they started production on this film. But last year, and I'm quoting an article from either Variety, let's just say Variety. But basically last year, after like failing to produce a hit beyond its like Angry Birds, like flagship franchise. And I'm not quoting anymore, so it's okay. They actually cut nearly 40% of their workforce. That's 260 jobs lost. But those working on the feature film were spared.
Because they were their only hope.
Yeah.
So unless you're, it's like, all right, folks, unless you're working on the movie, you're likely to get fired. He's a great motivational speaker. But here's the deal. Like, I feel like they kind of brought that on themselves because it's like you've got Angry Birds and nothing else. There were 14 sequels and like spinoffs of the original title since 2009. And in this case, you literally can't beat Pigs with Pigs. There's pigs and Angry Birds for those who don't play it. But yeah, let's make a movie because that's totally different. Like, I don't know. Was it Morgan? You're the marketing person. Like, was this some sort of last ditch effort, or is like, am I missing something? Like, even I know that you need to diversify your product line if you help to like beat the mid game. You know.
Well, like you said, like they were unable to produce a hit beyond Angry Birds. So they were trying with other games.
Flappy Bird took it from them.
They never, unfortunately, it was just some random guy.
Just one dude out in Bangkok.
They were trying to get other games that were going to be just as big. But it's like having lightning strike twice. Sometimes you just, that's like saying, oh, J.K. Rowling, remember how amazing Harry Potter was? We want you to do that again. And make sure that it's just as big this time. I think sometimes you just have a hit and you can't top it. There's just no way. And I know they were trying and I know that they wanted to, but it just didn't work out. You know,
are you saying the future does not bode well for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
You know, with Fantastic Beasts.
Fantastic Beasts. These beats are dope.
Yeah, I don't, with that one, I'm not sure how that one will go. And I think about a lot of these and I hate thinking like one hit wonder. Like nobody wants to be tagged as a one hit wonder. That is definitely not what anybody really wants. But at the same time, like you had a hit. Like that's pretty awesome to know that you went around and you had the biggest hit of all time. So sometimes just like drop the mic, walk away, you know? So, I don't know.
And walk away. And yet, we have so many franchises and IPs out there that just gotta milk that cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the Angry Birds movie is that even when it was announced, it was too late. It was announced after the peak of Angry Birds, mm-hmm. and oh, we're gonna make a movie. It was sort of like, oh, oh, Angry Birds, like that thing from last year, you know, it's just, it wasn't cool anymore at that point, or it was definitely dying. And it really did feel way too late. Like maybe if at the very inception, when the game was taking off, they would have started the development of this and then we could have got it launched, you know, around 2012, 2013. I feel, I don't know if that would have like saved it, but it just, the problem with this movie is, to me, even when it was announced, it felt way too late, personally. And that was a big, that when you're, even when you announce the movie, you're like, really that? That just doesn't really lend, either you have to blow it out of the water, which is, again, asking for lightning to strike twice.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so just in general, what did we think of the very first animated film based on a smartphone app? This is where we come to planet Earth. What did y'all think?
Not blown away.
Chelsea, I know you got to say something about this.
I wanted to like this. I really, really wanted to. And that's just because, like, you look at everybody that is involved in it, and you really, I want to cheer for them, and I want to say, hey, you guys did a great job. Congratulations on everything that you're doing. I really wanted to be able to say that. My problem was 20 minutes in, I wanted to go home. I did. Oh, yeah. No, here's
did
a
you?
Funny.
I'm just kidding. So I did.
So I did. Well, oh, yeah. It was just really funny. So, random side story. Yeah, this guy asked me out on a date, and I was like, well, I have to go see this movie, so if you want to go see this, like, if you want to hang out with me, you got to see this. And he was like, okay, and he, like, comes, and, like, through the whole thing, he's just like, what did I just do?
Well, Chelsea, I hate to break it to you, but that relationship is now not going to progress anymore. It's dead. Just...
yeah. Yeah, well, and it was just really funny, just because I was like, hey, like, I'm not sorry. This is what you have to deal with if you want to come out tonight. So I got to the point right when the part when Bomb is about to, like, bomb
in the
very first
session.
Time that I was like, I don't even care. I'm kind of done. And I just felt like I want to go
like,
home
I
wanna too,
blow
but
up
I,
too.
It was, yeah. I want to blow up too. Yeah, so I'm gonna pause and let you guys take your thoughts.
Okay. I'll talk about what I liked about it first.
Yeah, let's do that.
I thought that the animation and rigging, you know, that's kind of my thing. I thought that was really good. All the characters are, see, they were pretty smart. They aired previews for a bunch of, like, probably direct-to-video. No, actually, one of them was for a theatrical release. It was called The Wildlife.
Yeah.
It was about the animals that like, help Robinson Crusoe, like, fight off a bunch of pirates. Like,
kind of strange.
Yeah. Look out, everybody. You thought it's going to be the new Norm of the North. It's going to be, like, the new, like, lower-budget animated family comedy that everyone is going to love to hate because it's trendy. And that one looks bad. Like, the animation just doesn't look that good. The rendering, you know, obviously they don't have money for the Hyperion engine, but even so, like, they've obviously taken shortcuts with their rendering and their texturing and lighting and stuff like that. It's one of those previews where the voiceovers don't even remotely match the lip sync, and so I looked at that, and then I look at Angry Birds, and Angry Birds is so much more vibrant and so much more professionally done. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they attracted some top talent because this is, like, a huge property. You know, in the marketing and stuff, like, there's, like, you know, high expectations for it. And so I thought that just the nuance and the detail and the animation and the texturing and stuff was very well done. Everybody moves in these beautiful arcs. It's very everybody moves very well. It's very cartoony. There's enough squash and stretch. So much squash and stretch. Actually, these characters are, like, made out of gummy characters. But the gummy Angry Birds movie. But I thought that was good. But like Chelsea said, I barely survived through this movie. There was just no energy in it, despite the characters being so hyper.
Yeah.
The pigs had a very grotesque energy to them. Like, there were a few Magic Mike moments that I wish I could unsee in that film, but
yes.
Apparently that's how everybody sees red people from the South, so.
Music was all cowboy fairly strippers. Well done. There was a lot more country in this than I thought there would be.
Oh, there was a country song in the middle of it. The pig song was actually not that bad.
The pig song and I'm pretty positive that was Blake Shelton on there. I haven't looked it up just to make sure.
You obviously know Blake Shelton more than I do.
And then after that, at the end, there was another one as well. And so I was like, there's quite a bit of country in this. I did not expect that. But I felt like the music was good. There were moments where I was like, oh, this sounds fun. But
that was it.
Morgan, do you have any? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so what did you think of the cast? This is certifiably a star-studded cast.
Yes.
We've got Jason Sudeikis. We've got Josh freaking Gad. We've got Hannibal Buress. We've got one of the guys from Key and Peele. I think the Key from Key and Peele is in it. I think Peter Dinklage is in it. Who am I missing? Forgive me, everyone, while I bring up the cast list on IMDb.
No, but seriously, it was. And that was one of the things that struck me as I'm watching this is like there's a lot of good actors in this. But I felt like, I don't know, I felt like the whole flow of the movie didn't go. Like there was a lot of start and stop just in the vibe that came with the voices.
You feel because they were celebrities that they distracted you from... Because you knew they were celebrities?
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't the fact that they were celebrities or anything like that. I felt like the actual performances were not cohesive.
Danny McBride, Maya
she
Rudolph. I like how Maya Rudolph is in every animated film. Like, she must have a time turner. That's how she does it. Some conspiracy theorist out there, possibly me, is going to, like... You know, you're going to see me in my room and I'm going to have all the yarn that's connecting the dots to like pictures of Maya Rudolph and all that stuff. The conspiracy is all there. There's no way she could have been recording the lines for this animated film because she was actually recording the animated lines at the exact same time for this animated film. It's a perfect crime. She's got a clone. Confirmed Hollywood is making clones. All is lost. Danny McBride is in it.
Oh,
Bill Hader. Sean Penn is in it. What? He didn't even speak. He was Terrence. He was the dude. He was the giant one, the whoa, bird, you know, the big cranky ones from the game. I don't know, man. Can I just say that I don't even know who this Jason Sudeikis guy is. What was he in? We're the Millers, SNL, Horrible Bosses, Horrible Bosses 2. I haven't seen any of those. Jay-Z Story, never saw that one. The Cleveland Show, don't watch it. Epic, Bomba. I don't even know who that character is. Anyway, I don't even know who this guy is, but he is not funny. That's how much I know about him. He managed to make the most unlikable main protagonist of an animated film I've ever watched. You could make a Ren and Stimpy movie, and I would be rooting for them more than I'd be rooting for Red. Because like he just did not have... He was just not funny.
It wasn't funny. Yeah. It wasn't really even believable.
And there's...
Like, because he was angry all the time and mean.
He really wasn't. Like, he had no point.
He got punished with, you know, at the very beginning when he has to go to the ultimate worst punishment ever, anger management. You're like, yeah, you kind of deserve it.
Yeah.
And, like, it doesn't get better.
Yeah.
He's like, that's not a punishment. I'd say that's kind of a boon to his health. Like, he really needs it. Like... Okay, contrast him with other, like, grumpy animated characters, like Ice Age, Manny, or even Shrek. Like, they start out grumpy, but they change.
Because we know why. We see more of their motivations, why
like
they're
love...
angry. And
Yeah. Shrek has had, you know, he's been prejudiced all his life, and he is prejudiced, and people have practiced prejudice against him. Shrekism. People have been ogreist towards him. and ogre cultural appropriation, and Manny had his family taken away by the Neanderthals, and so they have motivations. Yeah. But like Red is just an angry guy
because he had eyebrows
from an egg with thick eyebrows. Like
that's like, that, and people made fun of him because he had eyebrows and therefore didn't have friends.
So then
and
he then, stayed that so way. He's like
like Goob. He's like Goob from, what is it called? House of the Robinsons? No, Meet the Robinsons, where they're like, hey, Goob, want to come over? Hey, Goob, cool notebook. They all hated me, you know? and what's most important is that people like Manny and Shrek and who knows about Bowler Hat Guy, maybe, they all found love at the end. Manny learned to love a new family and find love in a person that he otherwise should have hated. And Shrek found love in Fiona, who was the only person he was lucky enough to find who accepted him for who he was, and Donkey, but he wasn't in love with Donkey, he was in love with Fiona. And but Red has no love in his life. Basically, his entire purpose is to make the rest of the birds angry at the pigs so that they can take them down. And I don't know if you can get a really good moral out of that story. It's like, sometimes you just got to be angry and go to war. Like,
yeah, you know,
we're really
going to
do that today in 2016 animation.
Like, birds. And so it's like, oh, find out why the birds are so angry. And we never really find out why.
It's just
we find out he's angry because people made fun of him. But
he's angry because no one. Yeah, and then he's angry because the pigs are going to steal all the eggs and no one's listening to him because they don't like him.
It wasn't a good motivator. To me, it's just like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. I still don't care about you, and you're still just really a jerk and not interested. You know, there weren't any redeeming qualities, unfortunately, to make up for how he's behaving, which is sad, but it's kind of true. So, I mean, maybe that's the whole point. He's angry because he's angry, and that's just who he is, and get over it. That's why he attacks pigs.
and then the supporting cast, it's like, I read that Josh Gad didn't even want to do this film eventually.
Why would you do it?
I read that he didn't want to
because this is Hollywood, because, you know, deals have to be made.
He didn't
want to
do it because he didn't want to be repeating his whole experience. Not the experience, but
he didn't
want to
be just another
Olaf.
But what was he in The Angry Birds? Just a yellow Olaf. Like, just slightly faster.
Like, he was faster, but I don't feel like he knew who he wanted to be. He wanted to be so far away from Olaf that he was still doing him, but not.
He wanted to be so far away from Olaf that he did a 360 and ended right back up at Olaf.
He's just the faster one. And I felt it was kind of the same way with almost all of the characters. You didn't know who the writers wanted them to be. Even the townspeople. The townspeople, I didn't know. Like, they were just the dumb town birds.
They are pretty dumb. Like, all the birds in this movie are pretty dumb, except for Red. Yeah. Maybe that's why he feels so angry at everyone, because he's the only one who's, like, thinking independently.
Right. And then at the end, it was just funny, at the very end when they, like, bring his house into the whole culture and everything, and it's like, oh, great, now he's part of them. But I'm thinking, I would rather be on the beach. I would rather have my beachfront property.
Yeah.
Slightly.
I like my land. I like my land. I would like to be able to fart in my house and not have my neighbors hear it. But anyway,
he's okay. But that's the thing. Like, he was so mentally not with this crowd, and yet he wants to be in the crowd, but he doesn't fit. And you know he doesn't fit, and he knows he doesn't fit. Yet he's trying to still fit no matter what. Yeah. I didn't like that.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows? I wonder if a lot of these decisions were... Shanna brought this up last night while we were analyzing what we had just gone through.
Shanna moment of the day.
Well, she had two great moments. I mean, she has a bazillion great moments, but...
Just two.
She has two things of worth. She said something that was really poignant.
Oh, tell me more.
Yes. Made my ears perk up. One thing she said was, okay, after we watched it, we were discussing the plot line. She was like, you know what? I bet if we saw that wildlife movie that was in the previews, it would have been a better story than this one. I'm like, you're kind of right. And then another one she said was that we don't know how much Rovio, how much interpolation they had, you know, or how, you know, maybe
being the franchise
or maybe
owners.
It was who was the distributor for this one? Was it
Sony?
It was Sony Pictures. Well, and
no,
Paramount.
Who was the distributor though?
Oh,
right,
distributor
movie.
I thought it was Paramount.
Was it?
I remember seeing a Paramount sign somewhere.
No, it distributed by Columbia Pictures. That's right, because it had the chick with the torch at the beginning.
One of those.
Yeah. Oh,
that,
some people are saying
Universal.
I'm just looking at the news here.
MGM.
I'm just looking at the news here. Apparently some people don't like the movie because they think it's anti-immigration. It's anti-invasion. Wow. Like, they're stealing eggs and they want to eat their offspring. We throw around a lot of terms, but I wouldn't say it's anti-immigration. But anyway, Columbia Pictures, Touchstone is the one with the horse. Yeah, there's the horse, and then there's the chick with the torch.
I thought Touchstone.
She's like a wannabe Statue of Liberty.
Anyway.
Oh, TriStar. Yeah, sorry, Touchstone is that one. The do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
TriStar is the freaking horse.
If you don't have no idea what we're
talking
about,
watch movies.
Yes, please just watch the video stream.
I still remember the ending to the Simpsons episodes. Anyway, Jason Sudeikis sucked eggs. In the words of Squilliam Fancy Son from SpongeBob SquarePants, he sucked eggs. But it was just bad. Like, okay, it took an hour. Oh, Shanna timed it. 90 minutes long, it took an hour to get through the exposition and actually get to the conflict of the movie. It took an hour. Two-thirds of your movie was setting up the conflict. And I'll tell y'all right now, spoiler alert, they only fling each other, themselves at the towers that the pigs build for 5 minutes of the film. If you cut that out and just had just cut to the part where the slingshot broke and they're all in the castle, you could have switched any species of animals and it could have been any other animated film.
Yeah.
Like, they only got into the slingshot stuff very briefly. If the whole movie was about slingshotting, I would have been more entertained.
So I felt like there were plot points in here that were kind of crowbarred into the story. And it was like, but it was just so weird because it was like, okay, well, the video game says we have to do this. And so, like, make sure that plot point is in there. Okay, make sure that plot point is in there. And then, well, basically, we can generally explain these plot points in about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. Well, how do we make it 90? Okay. So I just felt like there was a lot of that going on. And that's why I felt like the flow of the movie was kind of, it was just off. And I felt like there were moments where you're like going, this is the plot. And then this happened. And then this happened. You know, it was just like, nothing happened, and then something happened. Nothing happened, and then something happened.
It makes me wonder, I think the question Mason was trying to ask before we kind of got distracted by movie studio logos.
I think the word you're searching for is...
How involved was Rovio in this? You know, were they the overarching hand, you know, that was always meddling, always involved, which kind of prevented the creators from telling a story that maybe would have been better, would have had more of a, you know, character development.
like wouldn't Rovio just have one condition? You have, like, it needs to be about flinging birds with a slingshot at towers that the pigs build,
in theory, right?
But and they're like, okay, we'll have it for 3 seconds, but the rest of it is going to be this super convoluted. And it wasn't even because it was a complicated exposition. Like, the pigs come, they think they're friends, nobody believes him, even though because he doesn't trust them, because they don't like him, and when they find out that they actually are bad, they repent, and they choose him as their leader for some reason.
So is that why this movie doesn't work? Because, okay, we were talking
No, this movie doesn't work because they wasted time for so long in this film.
But hold
on. Could have taken away all the... Okay, good. Sorry, go ahead.
So I'm just saying, so we were talking about, oh, they just kept repeating themselves. There's 14 sequels to this game, it's all the same thing. The pigs... you know, are there, and the birds attack, and you have to, like, the game, you, every single episode or level, you have to be a bird and use your special abilities to destroy the towers, right? That's the whole point. So if they were so good at, you know, doing the exact same thing, wouldn't technically, if Rovio was involved, the movie would just be that. It would be 60 minutes of action, attack, or whatnot. And so you think they were trying to spin it up and be different by saying, well, everyone knows that Angry Birds is about attacking the pigs. So let's instead...
But how'd they get so angry?
Get the motivation about why. And then they spent too much time on that, and that's ultimately... It didn't work because we didn't care about that. Right?
There's only so much you can do with unappealing characters.
Okay, that's a big thing. Unappealing characters. I hardly liked anyone in the movie. Like, Matilda mm-hmm. was a psychopath. Chuck was annoying because Olaf. I liked Bomb, but he was just that bashful, you know, kind of low-key big guy character. Red was an idiot. And then the Great Eagle wasn't even cool.
No.
So lame. And then
and he wasn't even lame enough to be funny lame.
I did like the little when
there
he noticed when he said the Great Eagle and Bomb, like, it goes into his brain and he imagines what the Great Eagle is like, and he's like this amazing superhero and stuff, and they're debating over what his call is, like go 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 in his in Red's face and stuff. But another part of it is that they just went for so many of these gags and jokes and slapstick and mayhem and fart jokes that, and oh my gosh, the potty humor in this. Okay, the scene where the Great Eagle is like peeing in the Lake of Wisdom for like 5 minutes, that is straight out of Norm of the North. Like, guys, you took a page out of Norm of the North, for crying out loud. Like, you need to fire that writer. But for crying out loud, like maybe other people were laughing in the theater, but me and Shanna were just like, what? I blame Seth MacFarlane. You know why? Because he's the one who started this, like, hold it longer than necessary.
Yeah.
Hold it uncomfortably long until people laugh at the fact that you held it uncomfortably long, thus making them laugh even more.
The old Simpsons rake.
And it's the, you know, the Simpsons did it with class.
They did it with class.
Family Guy ruined it, as Seth MacFarlane usually does, and because I hate him, and I'm not afraid to say it. And that kind of humor has just inundated animated films for some reason. And I just felt so insulted as a viewer at that stupid peeing scene. It's literally potty
humor.
We are
all now dumber for
having
watched
it. It's a toilet joke,
this.
Folks. Literally a big, giant toilet joke. And if you laughed, you better be a 3-year-old, because then yeah, the 3-year-olds is probably pretty funny, but yeah. Anyway, like, I need to stop talking because I'm just gonna get super pissed at this movie.
Oh man. Well, as far as, okay, what are some ways that they could have, that they really needed to, or how could they have approached this better?
Just condense. Don't, like, in the words of Ian Malcolm, they thought so much about whether they could, they didn't stop to think about whether they should.
They should, yeah.
And I think if they had made a half-hour animated film that cut right to the chase and had a lot of stuff to satisfy the fans, I think it would have been a lot more successful. But of course, they made the Angry Birds tunes, which sparked interest in making the full-length animated feature. And so, you know, you can only go bigger, you know, with these
it's
guys.
It's like every time that they make a Dr. Seuss movie, I am just kind of like, oh, what are you going to add of your own? Why?
Aren't they redoing the Grinch?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Illumination is.
The thing is, these stories are only supposed to be 20 minutes long. Like, that's all that they needed to be. And there's a reason things got cut. Come on, people. I mean, okay. So let's just move on.
We have a lot of voicemails, so we'll get to
those. Yay! We got to the voicemails! I'm so sorry. Like, I don't mean to be a grumpazoid these.
Everybody knows that I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want to be a grumpazoid positive. On this show, and I hate being the cynic, but it's just a bad movie.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
Let's just... Was it better than Norm of the North?
Y'all know how I feel about Norm of the North.
You told me not to see Norm of the North, so I never did.
I would say yes, and that's...
I am very motherly about Norm of the North.
This was better. Better, not worse.
This was better than Norm of the North? Holy crap.
This was better than Norm of the North,
Chelsea,
I will
just go
admit.
See Norm of the North and... Yeah.
Oh, you can have my copy. You can have my copy of the movie, Chels.
Wow, he's so kind. He's
giving it
to you.
Take it, please.
Okay. So,
it's watching me from the
before
mantle.
Before we rate it, let's talk about, let's do the voicemails, because there might be some questions relating to different things. So our first...
Jeremiah Bach in the chat, just real quick, he mentioned that he brought up a real good point. The jokes were at the same time too immature and too mature. Mm-hmm. And he says, it's really not that quite appropriate for even for a kid. There's so many unclever sex jokes and stuff beyond the, beyond the trailer described it as South Park light. Ooh, that's a pretty heavy accusation, but I completely agree. There was some adult humor. There was even a 50 Shades of Grey reference in it.
Yeah.
It is so lame. Like, okay. No one wants to see that. And I don't know. I hope this is not the direction where modern animation is going.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Jeremiah, he sent in a voicemail. So
was he a bullfrog? Was he?
Let's check it out.
Hello, everyone. This is Jeremiah, your little bullfrog, calling for the second time about... Well, you all enjoy that. I watched Wreck-It Ralph again recently, and I think I'll stick with that, but you all enjoy. I think I'll take this opportunity instead to talk about how fantastic you all are, because you really have given me so many fun little things that sparkle up my life a bit. For instance, that I naturally have to call all Studio Ghibli Studio Jiggling every once in a while. I also occasionally listen to you with my sister. She's grown quite fond of you. And you introduced us to the Thief and the Cobbler. Or, you know, I told her you absolutely have to hear this podcast. It's such a fascinating, sad story. And then we had to watch The Cobbler Recobbled, and she was just wowed by the artistry. And then we had to watch even the terrible Miramax version a zillion times. And yes, just... thank you so much for our lovely times. You make sad days a little less sad, and you make bright days brighter. So thank you. Talk to you guys later.
Aw,
Jeremiah, thank you so much. We are so happy that we get to sparkle up your day, as you said. And, you know, I love doing this show so much. You guys are, I don't consider y'all fans as much as friends. And so we love the connection we have in the chat and stuff. Like, we love yucking it up with y'all. And we love it. Love it. Love it.
It really is just like a party in the chat, and it's like everyone's invited. So I really enjoy this, and you guys, it's a fun time.
Studio Jiggling. That's right. That was a good one.
That was a great one. Yes.
That was a good one. We get a lot of callbacks and fan letters about that episode, but that was a fun one. But yeah.
All right. Next voicemail is from Melissa.
Melissa, huh?
Hey, Rotoscopers, it's Melissa leaving my review for the Angry Birds movie. I was a little hesitant when I heard that this movie was coming out. Like, really? They're making a movie of this? But I was actually pleasantly surprised. I thought that the movie was really funny. I thought the voice cast was great, and the animation looked wonderful. I hope that we get to see more from Rovio Animation. I'm excited to see what they do next. Again, I thought the humor was really great in this movie. Lots of cool puns, and I thought it was really funny how the birds couldn't fly, and that was like an assumed and known thing that birds can't fly. The only thing I didn't really like about this movie were the pigs. I thought they were a little unappealing. We didn't really get to know them. Honestly, if the whole movie was just on Bird Island, I would have been perfectly fine with that. The pigs, everything about them was a little weird. But other than that, I thought the movie was great. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Thank you for all you do. Bye.
I'm glad she liked it.
Well, about the pigs, I think that, I don't know, the less I know about them, the better, in my opinion, because, like, you don't ever want to get into that, like, if you're going to have a villain, make them a villain. Like, don't be sympathetic towards them, you know? Like, don't make this tragic backstory Maleficent that makes you, like, pity them and change your view of them and takes away from the power of the fact that they're a villain in the first place, so... that's just my opinion on the pigs. We do know quite a lot about them. They are industrial. They are technologically advanced. They are greedy and hungry, and they're all Southern, I guess. I don't know.
Awesome. Okay, next one is from Rachel.
Hi, Rotoscopers.
Hi.
So I had the chance to see Angry Birds, and I didn't really like it very much. I thought the animation was pretty good, but other than that, I felt like it had too much sort of tawdry humor that I didn't really like, and I felt like the messaging was very strange. I thought that I was expecting it to be sort of a Grinch-type story with the character learning to be kind and learning to not be angry, but instead, they sort of combined anger with confidence, and they made it seem like the
never
characters
a good combination.
That weren't angry were sort of stupid and gullible, and whereas like Red, he's angry and he's somehow smarter and he kind of figures things out. So that was really odd messaging for a film aimed at kids. I thought that was strange, and I thought the music was really overbearing and loud and just kind of obnoxious, distracting. And the musical sequences, like the hoedown, went on so long that I just grew tired of them. And I didn't like it. I didn't think it was very good. So hopefully you guys like it better than I did. I'm curious what you'll think. So thanks.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now you know.
Yeah. Well, here it is. You know, I like your point that you made. Okay, for one, let's not get off track with the whole, like, okay, in the, you boil it down to its main ingredients. It's about standing up to bullies. It's about standing up to, fighting for justice and freedom and all that stuff. But at the same time, Red's motivation and based on Red's personal, like, story arc, you're right. It's he basically combined his anger with newfound confidence, and you boil that all together and you get a bona fide Sith Lord, like anger and confidence equals Sith Lord. and that's pretty much it. Like, you're right. There needed to be a moment where he had a change of heart, but then you wouldn't have angry birds, would you? Maybe they just get angry when would you? But then maybe they just get angry when they get invaded. You know, I don't know.
Okay. Next one. We have two more and that are talking about Angry Birds specifically. And then we have one question. So, Ryan, you are up.
Hello, Rotoscopers. Ryan Prado here with my voicemail for the Angry Birds review. Upon Chelsea's request to go support animation, I went out to the theater, and you know what? I do not regret my purchase. It was actually a pretty fun movie. Brought my baby sister, who I wanted to come see. Well, she's not a baby. She's a toddler. Well, it was a six-year-old. Who knows? Science can never tell us what a toddler is. But I enjoyed myself. She explained to me the vast Angry Birds lore. Pigs take the eggs. Birds try to get him back. Which actually, now that I think about it, 2/3 of the movie went by before they actually got the eggs. And there was a lot, you know, I don't know if it was a lot of lowbrow humor, but I think it was up until this is one of those movies that those last 10-15 minutes really justify all the time you invested. Because that final scene was, I'm discounting the rest of the movie, because I think the entirety of the movie gets a 3-star, if not a 2.5 for me. But that final scene, 5 out of 5. All the potential that was in the concept of making an Angry Birds movie was in those final 15 minutes with that amazing scene. But like I said, right now, as a whole, 3 stars. Sistering liked it. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Brian. I'm so glad that you had that.
I can't even remember. Something about a gigantic explosion.
Well, the big pot falls on top of him, and then the giant, yeah.
On Red, and it shields him from the deafening explosion.
Uh-huh. And then I did end up watching the continuation during
During the credits. We left.
Yeah. Well, they did have, like, the three little birds that he saved, and they, like, have their superpower of, like...
Yep. That's from the the game.
I assumed.
All right, two more voicemails. So first one is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello, RotoScopers. It's me, Sarah, again, and I'm here to leave a voicemail for Angry Birds podcast. I'm not too empathy, I'm not gonna lie. But I finally watched Titan A.E., and it was what it was. I wasn't really wild about it. The special effects and scenery were really good, but the plot and characters, they were kind of hokey. Sorry, Mason, this is not one of those Donald Blitz movies I will be watching over and over and over. Oh, no, I have to give it just a 2 out of 5 stars. So, yeah, bye, Morgan, Mason, and Chelsea. I love y'all, and have a good day. Bye.
Aw.
Thanks.
Sarah, we love y'all, too. I totally forgive you for not being crazy for Titan A.E. It's totally, like, 10-year-old Mason
fine.
Loved
it's
it,
fine.
And he
Whatever.
Never stopped loving it.
All right, last one is MJ with her question. So here we go.
Hello, fellow Rotoscopers. It's MJ here. And I want to say a big congratulations to Morgan for her news. And this had me think of a question for you guys. What is the very first animated movie that you would love to show your children if or when you have them? What's the movie that you just can't wait to share with them? Thanks, guys. Love you all.
Oh.
So that was a question that she sent in for a few episodes ago, but we moved it. So,
well, it's a good one. It's a timeless one.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all go first. Which ones would you show your kids? The first animated film you would show your children. Morgan, you go first. This should be on the brain.
That's hard.
This should be on the brain.
Well, because you want to show age-appropriate films, right? So maybe your
Land Before Time.
Your favorite movie isn't necessarily the most appropriate, right? I feel like you just can't go wrong with certain Disney ones. I mean, I'd want to say, oh, it's got to be Beauty and the Beast. But Beauty and the Beast has some pretty scary moments.
Yeah,
could be scary for... And at what age am I showing kids these movies? I don't know. I mean, of course, people always start out as being the parent of like, my children will never, ever watch movies or TV. And then by the time they're two or by the time the second or third one rolls around, it's like,
you're like, kid, just shut up and
watch
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Leave me alone. So I do not have unrealistic expectations for what will happen based on my experience with everybody else and their parenting experiences. So still
you can't shy away from good quality family entertainment.
That's the thing. I'm like, I got, it's my duty to represent the good stuff, right? So unfortunately I do in my Disney Movies Anywhere collection have some strange films that just because you know you get the digital copy and I'm like, ugh, can I just like hide that so the child never has to watch that, because not worth it. But anyway, so I don't know. Little Mermaid, can't go wrong with that. I don't know. What do you think?
Little Mermaid might have some scary stuff in it. Well, you got to remember that if you go really young, they won't even realize what they're watching.
It's true.
Okay, but if you go too old... Winnie the
Pooh is as good as you're going to get at that age.
Oh, dude. I don't... Yeah.
Heffalumps.
They might be too scary.
Oh, yes. The Heffalumps. That one legitimately freaked me out as a child.
Well, there we go.
They did?
Thanks for the suggestion.
I think the first animated film I watched was Peter Pan. That one's pretty light, don't you think?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Captain Hook's not really that threatening.
101
Dalmatian.
Well,
Cruella
was
kind of
crazy.
The real world
beyond
is
all reason.
Scary, so we just need to say, hey, gotta have
deal
a little bit of scariness and deal with it.
Watership Down, definitely.
Watership Down. I think I'll hold off for a bit, but I mean, most Disney,
they wouldn't appreciate it for what it was.
Most Disney is, although I do have at some point in time, I will be showing my children Fantasia and they will be liking it. Cause I know I've mentioned before, if you don't grow up with Fantasia, you don't appreciate Fantasia. And I was watching it with my in-laws and nieces and nephews and whatnot. And like they eventually 30 minutes into it, they said, this is boring. What is this? I want to change it. I'm like, it's Fantasia. It's amazing. So I think that's one that you had to have grown up at a very, very young age watching it and loving it, because that's me. I always remember watching that or looking at my Disney VHS collection. Which one am I going to watch today? And picking Fantasia or picking this one or that one. Ah, oh, the squishy box. So good.
Gotta have
that. Our kids
squishy
won't
box.
Have that. They won't be able to.
They'll just have cold, hard streaming data. You can't bring that to school and show it off to your friends.
Oh, I'm being mad when someone doesn't
look at the stream. Yeah.
Good times.
I don't know. I think something maybe like Robin Hood. Maybe not Fox and the Hound. Maybe Winnie the Pooh. Something like that.
Yeah.
I would go Cinderella probably.
Aww.
Nice.
Cinderella's a good
one.
Cinderella's
pretty light.
Are there any non-Disney that we would?
Nope.
Well, a lot of
definitely Disney,
Pixar. I mean,
Pixar. Yeah.
I think Pixar tends to be, well, not older, but I don't know. Toy Story. Every kid loves Toy Story.
Up would be a cute one for
Cars
a young
for
kid.
Boys. And
oh
girls.
Yeah, Cars is. Awesome.
I mean, not saying girls.
Only because
can't like
I saw
cars,
some.
But...
I saw some hate in the chat. I would totally make my kids watch Rock-a-Doodle all the time.
Ah,
Rock-a-Doodle.
You would. So, all right. Well, let's wrap it up, folks. So before we go, we need to rate the movie. And what would you rate this film?
2 stars, people. I rarely vote. I rarely rate one so low, but 2 stars, man. I was literally bored during this film, and I am never bored like watching animated films. So something went wrong here.
I also give 2 stars. It was hard. It was a struggle. And...
The struggle was real.
The struggle was real. And I'm really glad, though, that there are those people that enjoyed it. And I really want them to be really loud, because that's awesome. Somebody needs to pat somebody on the back saying they did a good job, because you put a lot of effort into something. You want it to be good. And I wanted it to be good as well. But it just wasn't my cup of tea. How about that? How politically correct can I go?
I will. Yes, 2 stars. Done.
Done. Got it.
So if you would like to give us your review, be sure to go to rotoscopers.com/124 and let us know in the comments your review, your thoughts, what worked, what didn't work about Angry Birds movie. I know people in the comments who joined us live had lots of thoughts about this. And so we appreciate everyone who joined us live. It's been amazing to have you guys and to be able to interact. And it really adds a lot to the show. So thank you. Next one is going to be Song of the Sea, which is very, very highly requested. A lot of people have been wanting us to do this for a long time, followed by Finding Dory. So make sure to see those two films, Finding Dory, when it comes out. Go support it in theaters. Also, Angry Birds movie, if you have not seen it, go support it in theaters as well. And Song of the Sea. I will include links on the bottom of rotoscopers.com where you can rent it if you have not seen it through iTunes and then Amazon. So check that out. And if you would like to support the show, we have various ways. You can support us on shopping on Amazon, rotoscopers.com/Amazon. You can also support us by being a patron. So rotoscopers.com/patron, that's where you give a little monthly subscription or a monthly pledge to each one of us. And I think now I am behind on some of the patron perks. The stickers that I have to mail out and the cards that go along with that. I know some of you are waiting and I'm very, very sorry. I blame it on being really, really sick and totally unmotivated. So I will get those out to you. But as far as the other perks go, we do have a monthly episode where we just have a whole lot of fun. It's really turned into this fun Q&A, and then Mason starts drawing just random requests from the patrons. And
it's a great time.
We will be doing recording our show for April. Have we decided a date? We already did that. May.
We're in May.
This is the last day of May, but we will be recording our episode for the May Rotocast very soon. Did we decide on the date, ladies and gentlemen?
We have not posted a date.
We will,
but...
if you are a patron, we will decide that within the next little bit, and we will email you to the, if you're the patrons, $5 or more, you get access to that show. So thanks so much for those who have supported us and continue to support us. It really means a lot to us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And yeah, until our next episode, Song of the Sea, I'm really excited. We're going completely other direction, it seems, with our next film. So
yeah,
can't wait for that. And so before we sign off, any last announcements, thoughts?
One more.
This was a big episode for us all.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether or not we liked it or not.
one more idea for an animated film based off a video game.
Perfect.
Duck Hunt movie.
Yes, I saw that earlier in the chat too.
I'm just saying. All right.
All right. You can find us on social media. I have not been very active on social media, unfortunately. I'm so sorry. It's been lame. But at Morgan Stradling on Twitter, Instagram, and of course, Snapchat. Chelsea Robson is at Chelsea Robson on Twitter, chelsearobson.com. She's also Instagram, Snapchat, Periscope. And so find her there. And
well, Snapchat is Chelsea M. Robson. I was late on that one.
You got to be first one. You got to go. Once you hear of a new thing, you got to snatch up your name.
I know. Got to catch them all.
And Mason Smith has a very common, somewhat common name, and is Mason SMTX in all good places, Twitter, and also his masonsmithportfolio.com. So check him out there. He is officially legit. No longer an aspiring animator. He's a freaking animator, guys. So props to him.
He just adds so many kudos to our level of awesomeness on this podcast.
Oh, wow.
Sweet. Thank you, guys. Okay, so until next episode.
We are the Rotoscopers.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Seriously, what gets inside his life support doohickeys? What? What are they talking about? They are talking about who knows what over there. Chelsea looks very 70s with her lighting.
Oh, I know. I don't know how
you're like an Instagram filter.